Welcome to today's podcast of Maximum Security Democracy. We've got a pretty good show planned for you today. We're going to talk about Black Friday. We're going to talk about flag burning, the debt counter, the U.S. war against terrorism, which has become the war against our own liberties and rights. You can check my sources at MaximumSecurityDemocracy.blogspot.com. I've got most of some of my sources posted there. You can reach the website of the podcast at georgebloom.podomatic.com. And on that page is a link where you can email me or you can record a voice comment that I could use on the air. So I'd love to hear your comments. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Talk today a little bit about the issue of flag burning. You know, it really hasn't been something that's been in the news lately, but every once in a while, you know, you see someone burns a flag for whatever reason, protesting Iraq or protesting something, and they burn a flag. And I'm not talking about in other countries. I'm talking about in the United States. And as soon as someone does that, everybody's outraged and they run to Congress and everybody wants to pass a law against, you know, burning of a flag. Well, you know, here's the problem with that. We live in a country that values freedom above all else. And the ultimate symbol of that freedom is a flag. And the ultimate statement that must be protected is the right to burn that flag. It's disgusting when people do it. It outrages people when they do it. But it is a symbol of freedom. The flag is like the phoenix. If someone wants to come along and they burn that flag, the flag rises out of its own ashes as an even stronger symbol of freedom. If you try to legislate this, you know, burning of the flags and making it illegal, you're really destroying the freedom that it stands for. And it's disrespectful when people burn the flag, and it's a statement that I think, you know, people should try other things before they do something like that, and they need to take into consideration, you know, the people, the veterans, and the people who have died trying to preserve what that flag stands for before they do something like that. But, you know, ultimately, it is the symbol of freedom, and it has to be protected. It has to be protected from the weak who want to pass laws to limit freedom. As, you know, Benjamin Franklin said in one of his famous statements, he said, "Those who give up essential liberty for a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." Now, you know, if people want to give up their, you know, some freedom to prevent, you know, somebody from burning the flag because their feelings were hurt, they want to limit freedom because their feelings were hurt, okay, those are the people who are dangerous. They're more dangerous than the people who are burning the flag, you see. Those are the people we need to watch out for, because they'll trade everything for a little temporary protection. That's scary. So, we don't have to like people who go out and burn a flag. We don't have to like what they're doing. But we can't just go running out and up in arms and want to pass a law to, you know, to limit that. You're destroying what the flag means. You're destroying what it stands for when you go out and want to pass a law to limit the freedom of it. That's what it stands for. You know, in other countries, if you burn the flag, you know, you end up in jail because they don't have the freedoms that we have here. You go out and protest in front of the government center. You get arrested because they don't share the same freedoms. I mean, is that what we want? Piggyback on the flag burning topic with another topic that came up in the news recently, and apparently there's a town in Nevada called Pahrump, Pahrump, that just put on just voted for a ban on all the display of all foreign flags in the town. I got this article from, it's on, posted on CNN, and I've got it, if you check my blog out, and I'll give you the blog address at the end of the show, you can go read this article. But, they've, apparently, one of the citizens was very outraged last year when all the immigrants were protesting in Washington and showing their Mexican flags and protesting against the illegal immigration reforms that were going on. Apparently so outraged, he went back to his town and decided that he wanted to ban all of the flags, and all the foreign flags. So he brought it up, and the council put an ordinance in place. That's, you know, that's exactly what I was just talking about as far as people becoming really offended, and they want to go back and they want to pass some kind of a law to limit it down. And that's, I was outraged by all of those illegals protesting, trying to tell us citizens what we should be doing or what our laws should be. I was outraged by that. But going back and trying to pass some kind of an ordinance to limit people from showing flags from different countries, that's ridiculous. You know, what an idiot this guy was. But, you know, there you have it. You know, people agreed and they passed the ordinance. But that's exactly the wrong thing to do in this situation. I mean, those illegal immigrants who were out there protesting, they made fools of themselves, and they didn't help their cause any. Because I think they galvanized the public against them when they were doing that. So they didn't do themselves any good by going out and protesting and, you know, with their Mexican flags, trying to tell us what laws we need to do, or trying to tell us that we shouldn't be doing anything about illegal immigration. So they shot themselves in the foot on that. But we don't need to go back and pass some ridiculous laws that are clearly unconstitutional because we got offended by that. If, you know, our response should be to continue with our agenda and put a stop to the illegal crossings and you know, start having these people pay for the services that they're getting and so on. But, you know, I can only imagine what we would accomplish in this country if we actually put our will towards something that is going to make a difference, rather than pursuing these stupid ideas. Gosh. Since we're on this topic of freedom, let's talk a little bit about the war on terror. You know, it seems every 6 months or so, there's a new story in the news that comes up. You know, Bush wants to pass a new kind of law, you know, because we need it to fight terrorism. The NSA, we need this wiretapping program to fight the war on terrorism. We're in a state of war. We need these new authorities to fight this war on terrorism. And it all sounds good, you know, when you hear it. And if, you know, of course we need to do something different, you know. Maybe the government needs some more powers. But the problem with all of this argument about on this topic is the war on terrorism, it's a war that isn't going to have an end. You know, 10 years from now, some 20-year-old fed-up guy, Muslim, is going, you know, might strap, decide he's going to strap on a dynamite pack and go blow up a building somewhere. There's nothing that's going to prevent that or stop that. And it's war on terrorism. It's a war that is going to go on indefinitely. It's going to go on for as long as there's civilized society out there. So, when you want these new authorities to fight a war on terrorism, you know, when you say war, I mean, it's something that, you know, a war is something that ends eventually. But this, it's not, you can't really call this a war because it's not something that's going to end. So I'm not really sure what you would call it. But so when you argue, you know, the government needs some new authority to fight this war, built into a statement like that is the assumption that, you know, when the war is over, the government's not going to need any of this authority anymore. It's sort of a temporary solution. And when you, you know, you fight a war, the end result is some kind of a victory. Well, you know, with this particular war on terror, I mean, the most you can hope for is the containment of the terrorism. You're not going to get a total outright 100% victory because there's always going to be somebody out there who hates the United States, you know, would love to blow up something in order to make a statement. And you're not going to wipe, you're not going to stop that. You're not going to wipe that off the earth. So, you know, we have to be very careful when we hand over new authority to our government based on this war on terrorism. Because the authority you're handing over to the government is going to be a permanent authority that's going to be in place for as long as this country exists. You're not going to get rid of it because you're not going to 100% get rid of terrorism. So I urge everyone who listens to this cast to make sure that we think through those decisions before we base those decisions on just an emotional state. That's no coincidence, you know, they try to push these laws through when something happens. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if there's a team of people working under Bush, putting together new authorities for the government, just waiting for an opportunity for something bad to happen in order to suddenly bring this up and push it through. I mean, sure, there are laws in place right now. I mean, there are plans in place right now for some new laws just as soon as something happens so that they can get the emotional emotional population, emotional citizens behind it. Because in that state, you know, they're really willing to hand over things to the government. So, it's a mistake to rush these types of decisions through. And but that's exactly what happens. Every time something bad happens, we got 10 new laws on, ready to go through on books. And the problem is, most of those laws, no one's really thought out the long-term consequences to those laws. That's a huge mistake. Okay, did you get out there and do your civic duty this weekend? Well, I'm not talking about voting. I'm talking about Black Friday. Did you get out there and shop on Black Friday? They say that, you know, Black Friday is a day that brings retail stores from the red into the black. So you got to get out there and help America. You got to get out there and shop and spend your money on Black Friday. Though I don't find it a little bit strange that a business could operate all year long in red and have one day bring them out of it. But I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but certainly that's what the media, you know, would like to portray with their coverage and everything about Black Friday. But, you know, so I went out to do my civic duty. I went out to the mall. I went to check it out, you know, see what it's like. And it was pretty interesting. I mean, you hear people, everybody complaining, you know, about the crowds, but yet they're there battling the crowds. You know, they could have gone a week earlier and done everything, but they had to be out there today to battle the crowds. And those fool's bets, you know, those in flyers, they put the stores all put out something in the flyers about, you know, there's 10 items or of 2 items or 5 items that are priced way, you know, below, you know, at cost or whatever to get people in the stores. And, you know, the stores open at 5 o'clock in the morning, at least where I am, and people line up. There were 60, 70 people lined up outside of Best Buy. And those fool's bets were, I call them fool's bets, you know, because they're gone by 5 o'clock. You know, they open at 5 o'clock, they're gone by 5:01. But they bring in people all day long looking for those fool bets. But, you know, so I went out. It was interesting. The parking lots were overflowing and people were just everywhere. And, you know, you don't see that type of thing on Christmas, do you? You don't see people lining up outside the door of the church, you know, an hour before they open to get in there, you know, to, you know, Christmas. Black Friday, it has become a bigger event than Christmas. You know, it is the symbol of America. It's not Christmas. It is the shopping and spending that goes before Christmas. And that's what, you know, America is now about. It is the big event of the year to get out there and shop on Friday after Thanksgiving. So it was interesting to see the people out there. I mean, I think that the church, you know, the Church of America is your local mall now. You know, I really think that. That's where people spend most of their time, and that's where they spend their money, and that's where they put their efforts. And it is the symbol of America, the Church of Spending. So, that's my take on it. But I did my duty. I got out there and did some shopping. Let's check in with the National Debt Counter and see how we're doing this week. And the U.S. national debt is, as of November 25th, 2006, $8,616,244,339,383.28. And if we were to divide that to the estimated United States population of 300,314,334, that comes to $28,690.75 a share. Since I have 3 citizens in my family, even though one's only 5 months old, my total family share of that national debt is $86,000. Yes! We're doing so good. How am I going to pay that back? I don't know. But we'll see. When the time comes, that's a ticking time bomb, and we'll see when it goes off. And then we'll see, maybe I won't be alive, but I have a feeling that it's going to go off in my lifetime, and I'm going to have to pay up. Well, I guess I'm going to have to start looking into Chapter 11, because I don't think I can pay that. We'll be right back. switch over to the topic of the Republican propaganda machine, one of my favorite topics. This week we got Glenn Beck sticking his foot in his mouth yet again. He compares Adolf Hitler to Hillary Clinton. He does a juxtaposition between Hitler and the Holocaust and Hillary Clinton and the health care plan.
By now it was Adolf Hitler. Baby Naur was the first victim of the Holocaust. Hitler later signed a decree permitting the euthanasia of disabled infants based on this case and creating a panel of expert referees which judged the infants and found out which ones were eligible for death. Once he was through with the babies, the elderly were next. As it has been said over and over again with tragedies regarding the Holocaust, never again. So when you see politicians making statements like this one yesterday...
But the whole issue of health care is coming back. That may be a bad dream for some, but for others, it's a very welcome possibility because we are on an unsustainable course. I think that we have to come up with a uniquely American solution.
Okay. When you see statements like that, be afraid. Be very, very afraid. It's not a bad dream for me. It is a nightmare. Hillary, thanks, but no thanks. 1993 wasn't that long ago. I remember all too well that confused, nonsensical mess you tried to make of the greatest healthcare system in the world. Your universal healthcare is only universal in one way. It stinks for everybody. Imagine getting your healthcare from the DMV.
Okay, first of all, Glenn Beck, what are you trying to do here? You're juxtaposing Adolf Hitler and Hillary Clinton. We know that there's no comparison there. There's no similarities between those two. So I don't understand what you're trying to do here. Well, I know what you're trying to do. It's propaganda. And it's propaganda that is right up there with Adolf Hitler's propaganda machine. And you're right up there. That's something that, you know, you took that right out of Hitler's book yourself. The comparison ought to be between you and Hitler. Because that's exactly what Hitler would do. So, and you know, comparing that to Hillary Clinton's health care, you know, yeah, we have the greatest health care system in the world that nobody has access to and nobody can afford. Gee, that's great. And I don't even think that the Democrats are talking about universal health care right now. They're talking about getting prescription drug costs down, which is something we ought to do, something we should have done years ago. And universal health care, hey, I agree with you. We can't afford it right now, but there's a lot we can do right now to get the prices of health care down and reduce the inflation of health care. So be very afraid. You know what? People ought to be very afraid of you. That's going to do it for this week's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Check back again. Maybe we'll have another cast up for you.